They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, joining me today is Dr. Gary Solomon. Gary, thank you so much. I always love having you on because you always give us so much insight into what's going on.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure, and it's a pleasure hearing back from the people who are your listeners and have thoughts and questions that they have. So that's what this is all about.
Before we went on the air, before we started recording, I told you a little bit about my new website that's not quite up and running yet. But it occurred to me that people who are in the trenches, people who are fighting for their lives, people who are trying to save their homes, trying to save their sanity, trying to raise their kids, all of these people have a certain perspective what it's like to be in the fight of their lives, really. And there's no way that I can tell their story. There's no way that a reporter can tell their story in sound bites. There's no way that, you know, that anybody can tell their story and do it justice other than the homeowners themselves.
Yeah. I completely agree. And history has told us that our best chronicle of things that have happened from the past, whether it be 2,000 years or 5,000 years or 200 years, have been the stories of the individuals who were in the middle of those incidents. The story from the soldier, the story from the family, the story from the individual who is sitting out across country because they have lost everything they've got, or family, or. It's one thing for me to tell their story by my interpretation, but to hear it from them directly, this to me is the best.
Well, it seems to me that they have the understanding, and they can speak from the heart. Never having been in their shoes, there's no way that I can do it justice?
Yes, absolutely. And that really is the target statement. They speak from the heart. They're speaking from their emotional feelings and values. It's one thing for me as a writer to chronicle what you tell me. It's a whole nother matter for you to tell me and to use the words that are your feelings, how you feel, how your family feels, what you're going through, what your expectations are and were. That comes directly from the individual.
The inspiration, I've had this sort of mulling about it in the back of my mind for a long time, but the inspiration for this came from somebody that you and I both have spoken to. And she's a young lady with a young family who's got a problem. She's got Meniere's disease, and she's being abused and harassed by her HOA to the point where she couldn't take it anymore. She tried to commit suicide, and she's a young mother with young kids. Filing a complaint, a HUD complaint, a fair housing complaint, the
inspectors decided that Meniere's disease did not qualify, and that is totally wrong because it is a debilitating disease. Fortunately, her doctor wrote and explained what the disease was like. She has told me, and she's written to me, over the months, she's written to me and explained what it's like to get up and what it's like to be dizzy and what it's like to be afraid she's going to fall down. And the whole thing started over a trash can. You know, I know you've spoken to her, and I know you know her story. And she did give me permission to talk about it, by the way. Mm-hmm. I talked to her for a long time yesterday. And I told her that you would be on, and she said, go ahead, you can talk about my story. For someone like this young lady, would it be helpful for her psychologically to be able to sit down and tell the world what she's going through?
Unquestionably, yes. To be able to tell it from first person, singular, to hear it from her directly, her words, her thoughts, her experiences, at the same time has tremendous therapeutic value for her. She is going to be able to have a what we call a cathartic experience, simply being able to put it out there instead of someone else saying it for her. Now, there's a tendency for people to say, well, gee, I'm not a good orator, or I'm not a good writer, or I'm not good on camera. It doesn't matter. We're hearing it from the heart. And when that happens, we're interested. We want to hear it. I want to hear it. I would much rather hear her story from her than for me to tell you her story from me.
I think that, I think it's important for us to understand how they feel.
Yes.
Because when something like that happens, the industry's going to say, oh, it's just an isolated incident. She agreed to that. Well, nobody agrees to the abuses. Nobody agrees to all of the hassles and the expenses and the fear and all of that other stuff that people experience all the time, Gary. You know that.
Yes.
You know that. So if they tell you, you know, I wake up in the morning and, you know, I'm afraid of opening my eyes because I'm afraid of doing this. And, you know, we've both talked to people who said that they were terrified of going to the mailbox, of answering the door, of answering the phone. You know, that's no way to live.
That is correct. And I talked about this in my first work on HOA syndrome, the idea that the fear of going to the mailbox. I remember when I was growing up, I was terrified of going to the mailbox because of the draft. I did not want to open up the mailbox because I thought I was going to get my induction letter. Well, the same feeling is talked about when people talk about going to the mailbox and their HOA. And it sounds so silly if you don't have the experience of it. But once one is inside the loop of receiving the letters, the constant letters from the management company, the HOAs, the collection companies, the lawyers, everybody involved, it's nonstop. And to make matters worse, the homeowner is paying for those letters to come to themselves. There is just, I from the day that I started doing this, I've looked for ways to underscore how important this is. I think it is much better if it comes directly from the victim than it comes from me as the reporter for the victim. As a therapist, I treat people who are dealing with the problems associated with this. HOA syndrome is real. But whenever possible, I try to get those people back on their feet so that they can go in and take care of themselves and be heard directly.
You've been hearing from a lot of people, and I know that I get emails or people I read
all kinds of posts all over the internet, and you're quoted and mentioned a lot. So I know that people are reading HOA syndrome. I know they're reading and watching your videos. I know that you have made an enormous difference in this fight. But I'm sure that you have heard from people because you've been so generous, so kind, and so available to everyone. What are you hearing? Who are you hearing from? What are their stories? What's going on out there, Gary?
You know, Sue, I'm going to be completely and totally blunt and honest with you. I'd like to think that I only am. I always am, but I guess I'm almost preparing you for a statement that I'm about to make. I hear that it's getting worse, not better. I hear that the actions on the part of the HOA are becoming stronger because they have found that they can do anything they want without repercussions and retaliations from local governments and the federal government. The agencies that oversee these organizations are so overwhelmed with complaints that they can't keep up with them all. And right now, those organizations, the HOAs, the management companies, are using it to their advantage. Think of it this way. Imagine for a moment that you're in the middle of a town that is under siege from burglary and robbery and fire. Well, that doesn't scare the burglar away. That causes them to come in because they know there aren't enough police to stop everybody.
Oh, such a good point, Gary. Such an excellent point.
What has happened is that I've literally seen these agencies laugh at their fellow human beings in these homeowners associations because they know nothing's going to happen to them. They love what they do. Now, from a psychiatric point of view, I've talked about this. This is part of being antisocial. They love and get great pleasure from harming their fellow person. But now, knowing they can do it without any repercussions against them, life is about as good as it's going to get for these people. And honestly, Shu, I don't see it getting any better for the homeowner. I have explained why this is the case. The federal government simply makes too much money off of people who live in homeowners associations to stop anything that's taking place. And because of that, you have a group of people that are turning their back on the group of people who, in fact, they should be most concerned about. I would say this. Homeowner, you're on your own. And unless people can come together and unite and create a separate organization, as people are trying to do, until that can solidify, the homeowner literally is on their own. A solution that I've heard more than once to this, and I happen to agree with, if you live in a homeowners association, take $200 a month and put it into a special account called My HOA Protection Account. So that each month you're literally creating a private insurance company for yourself so you can fall back on it when you need to. There's not much else you can do to be able to stop them from what they're doing.
Would this collection of stories be helpful in trying to get legislators to understand what's going on? Because they're the ones who are enabling this. And when you look at the number of bills that they end up with, I mean, To a certain extent, I can understand it. I mean, if I were a legislator, a state representative, or a state senator, or whatever, and my area of expertise is X, and I sit there and I end up with literally thousands of bills in the period of 6 weeks or 8 weeks, as we have in Virginia, and I have to make a decision on all of them, and I do not understand the bills, and I do not understand what they will do or how they will affect the people I'm supposed to be representing. Would hearing from the people, because frankly, it's not going to be, they're not going to be able to sit down with everybody and understand how they're feeling or how it's affecting them. But would something like that be, if we could just dump it in their laps and say, okay, guys, watch this, or listen to this, or read this?
I believe that it would be the most effective thing that we have done to date. Yes, you can take my research. Yes, you can take the work of others, and you can put it in front of them, and for them, it's just another piece of paper they got to get through. But nothing in the documentation that I can produce is going to produce money for their pocket or for their campaign. Therefore, the tendency is to turn their head. But if the homeowner, the individual, especially the children, I'm not talking about five-year-old kids, I'm talking about 30 and 40-year-old children of their parents who are living in HOAs, would get on and say what's happening to them, we might get people to finally listen. We need to find those politicians who actually have a conscience and can no longer sleep with what they've done.
You know, money is great. You throw money at everything. Every problem that comes along, we just throw money at it.
Yes.
Campaign contributions are great because it buys them TV time and airtime and all of that. But it's the votes that count, because at the end of the day, if they don't get the votes, they're not going anywhere, no matter how many millions of dollars people threw at them.
Yes.
So they need to be able to reach the hearts and souls of their constituents. And it seems to me that this would be one way of getting something going between two very separate groups, the people who are making the laws and the rules, and the people who have to live by those laws and rules.
Yes, I think this is the direct conduit. This is the direct line. And yes, we can educate the people and the homeowner and what they're dealing with, but those homeowners have to step forward. Problem, many of them are frightened. Many of them feel like if they say anything, or if they're seen saying anything, they're going to be retaliated against. And we do have a lot of those cases where homeowners are basically said, told, shut up, put up with it, just keep on going. And if you do anything to try and stop it, we're going to really get you.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because a show that I did over a year ago, the person who came on the show has sold the property and moved on. But I heard from them, and I also heard from the president of the board saying, it's all lies, it's all lies. The fact is that there were photos to document everything that I was told. And they sued the former homeowner because they claim that the homeowner violated the gag order. And it's all hands off now. You know, you never... And so they went after them. So the homeowner contacted me, and I actually took one of the shows off my website. It's no longer available because the homeowner asked me to do that. I think one of the messages here is, and we hear this all the time, so many, when associations settle, they insist on a confidentiality clause. You may not talk about this or else.
Yes.
For God's sakes, people, don't fall for it. Do not agree to that. Do not sign that. Because, listen, the only reason they're willing to settle is because they don't want to go to court. Call their bluffs.
Mm-hmm.
Call their bluffs. Tell them, no, we're not doing anything. That if it doesn't withstand public scrutiny, then there's something wrong with it.
Yes, I completely and totally agree. And in talking with people, the exhaustion that I see in them and on their faces, and they get to that point where they can finally let go of this with the signing of that document, well, they've had it, and they sign.
Yeah, yeah. They just want it over with. But it's going to take just a little bit more, because if you sign that, you're not guaranteeing the end of anything.
No.
If you sign that, you know, it's just ridiculous. Just tell them no. You know, if you can't stand public scrutiny, then don't do it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Don't do it. So what else are you hearing from your readers? Because I know a lot of people have been commenting on HOA syndrome and reading all that stuff. So I know that you're making a humongous difference out there.
Well, I think overall I'm hearing certainly what I had hoped to hear, and that's that the people who are doing the reading are passing it on from person to person to person, and that it's making its way through neighborhoods and communities, somewhat an underground letter. And this is one of the things that I had hoped for. The other thing that I'm hearing is that people are looking for more of an understanding about how and why this has happened. And I do understand the frustration of the people looking for the answer to the why. But at the end, the reality is that it has happened, and it's going to continue to take place. There's simply too much money involved. And so when I hear from people and they're looking for that explanation, I tell them, let's cut to the chase. This is about money. This isn't about how well you're living in your home or the color of your door or your driveway or your lawn. This is about money. And as long as it's going to be about money, it's going to continue to happen. It's going to continue to grow. The number of people that are going into this business, managing other people's properties and lives and finances, grows on a quantum level. And as this takes place, they look for different ways to get the money. I do see around the corner here that when you go into an HOA, you're going to have to turn over a active charge card number to the HOA and an active checking account, debit account, to the HOA so that they don't have to go after you. They can just debit your account. I've talked about the use of the drones and the way the drones are going to come in and start charging, literally arranging for notices to be sent, and debiting the account for all the fines and the fees. This is happening now. This isn't made up stuff. This isn't science fiction. This is taking place now. And the fact that the government needs these homeowners associations to be built so that the government can save the money on the expenditure of the infrastructure, there's no incentive on a collective level to stop it. For the moment, it does give the individual homeowner an opportunity to say, that's it, I've had it, I'm going to move to a place in the country where there aren't homeowners associations. But eventually, we are going to be a state, the United States of America, that is going to be the United States of Homeowners Associations. Every block, every home, every building is going to be managed and operated by another entity who's going to be a for-profit organization, taking the burden away from the government to have to take care of that property. Ultimate goal, take all of that extra money and use it to shore up the infrastructure, which is deteriorating as we're speaking.
So when I say you're now leaving the American zone, I sort of hit the nail on the head with that one, didn't I?
You bet. You bet. This is not an exaggeration. Those people are from the outside think, oh, this is just talk and exaggeration and words. No, no, that's exactly what's happening. And because my latest work that I'm working on is looking at the history of these kinds of events over time, whether it be the Roman era, whether it be the Greeks, whether it be the transition from England to what became the United States, the Civil War, all of these wars, all of these efforts are based on taking over other groups of people. This isn't new. This isn't special. We're only 150 years away from or outside of the Civil War. What was that based on? It was based on the idea that one group of people was going to own another group of people for the purpose of making money. This is no different. It is the same. And the more volumes of people that I can own, called HOA management, the more money I'm going to make. Here now comes the incredible irony to this. And that is that the very populations, the minorities that were affected as a result of the civil change in 1860 to 1865, are the very populations who are not buying into homeowners associations. They are not getting involved in these organizations for a reason that they may know or not know. You're not seeing high populations of minorities inside of homeowners associations. Therefore, it is the very majority, that majority, that was responsible for the events that took place in the Civil War, that is now paying the price for what it did. It is a rather ironic turn of events.
So is this, you said you're now doing the research, is this going to be another book? Yes. Where are you going with this?
My hope is to try to enlighten people that this isn't just something that's been pulled from the air, that this isn't something that just happened as a result of something new, a little bit of bad water. This is history. This is history that we're doing, that we're reliving over and over again. And I don't care where you go back in time, you are going to find that one country wants to take over another country in the name of control, in the name of money. That one area of the city wants to be better than another in the name of money and control, and so on and so on. That the organizations that are there to oversee us and make sure that we're taken care of, the police, the local government, they're sucked into it too, because they want the money also. And over the years that I've been doing this, I have had enough involvement with the police, with the government, to see how they're acting. And it is an abomination. What they do, how obvious they are in their comportment, how they treat the homeowner as a inconsequential entity that merely stands in the way of their profiting. If I can put together a text that will show this, clearly, maybe I can get enough people together to say, I want to stop this now. It is going to require that the people that come on board are part of the moral group who will say, look, I understand that I make money off of slaves, but I no longer want to be a party to it. It's going to take someone who's willing to walk away from the profiting and say that this is the wrong thing, we need to do the right thing. And it's not going to happen easily.
Do the homeowners have a duty to themselves and their kids and grandkids and anybody that comes after us to try to put a stop to this? How can we get rid of the fear? Because it's the fear that controls them, Gary. How yes. can we get them to say, enough? This is not what I want to pass on to my, you know, to my kids.
You know, Sue, you've heard me use this term before that I've identified called malignant apathy. It is very difficult to get homeowners to come together because of malignant apathy. And it's well designed. If you go into a neighborhood, I'm standing in that neighborhood right now, 300 homes, but out of those 300 homes, maybe only 20 are under attack. That means that 280 homes are not being affected. And if you knock on their door, they'll say, look, it's not my problem, don't bother me, and they'll close the door. It's very difficult because they've made sure that the attack is under a smaller group of people. Once that individual has been drained dry, they simply go on to another person, one of those individuals who, in fact, was part of the malignant apathy, but now they need the help, so now they knock on the door. But no, wait a minute, that homeowner doesn't want to get involved either. It is a big process. And I don't care, again, I'm going to go back to the Civil War. Look at the hundreds of years it took us in this country, in this place of freedom, in this land where we're supposed to be the owners of our own lives and our own futures, the hundreds of years that it took to get people to stop slavery. I am surprised, too, that people have not shown the problems with homeowners associations as being tantamount to slavery. Now, the word slavery, or the use of the word slave, is a strong word. If we look at what individuals went through during that time period, one would say, well, that's not happening in my home. I'm not being whipped. I'm not being put in chains, and I will say, yes, you are. It's just that you can't see the chains and you can't see the whip marks, but you are being beaten down and you're being held back. Make no mistake, these are now becoming slave communities and slave states. Individuals getting up in the morning, going to their job, and then coming home to their ghetto neighborhoods that may in fact look very nice and very fine, but the truth is they are now under another kind of governmental control, and you better pay attention.
So how can we turn this around, Gary?
Could you repeat you?
How can we turn this around? How can we change the course of history or the course of what's happening now?
I believe that it's going to happen, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I believe it's going to happen with more death, with more violence, with more events against other people. And for the media, the major media to come on board, for 7 years now, I've tried to get 60 Minutes to do a piece and Dateline to do a piece and 2020. No response. But eventually, something's going to happen. There's going to be a big enough event, and that is going to spread the word more. Will it be the solution? No. We have short memories, and a few days after the event, we will go on. But there will come a time when enough people are hurt enough more often that people are going to unite and step together and do something. But I believe, Shu, I'm sad to say, a long way off, not in my lifetime. When I started this, I thought I could resolve this in 18 months. I've said it before on your show, and I'll say it again. I was delusional. This is not going to be solved in 7 years, and I don't think it's going to be solved in 70 years. There's simply too much money for people to walk away from.
2020 did a piece on HOAs, and this was when Winona, and I don't know if you remember, the 80-some-year-old lady Winona Blevins in Texas, whose house was foreclosed on, and she found herself on the street with her cat and 2 days' worth of...
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? It goes back to, I don't know, maybe 2001. 2020 wanted to do her story. And I interviewed her and I covered her story a number of times, and that's when this show was brand new. Her attorney, Marion Rosen, came on and talked about it. But 2020 wanted to do a show. And 2020 planned on doing a show about Winona. The whole world heard about Winona. I mean, it made worldwide news. How can an 80-some-year-old woman in a house that was totally paid for be evicted from her own home? The problem was 911 happened, and that story got put on the back burner. And so a little bit later, they came back and they called me. They wanted to know what other stories were available, because in the meantime, Winona's story was, the case was over with. She got her house back and she got moved in. So they did, but there wasn't that big a story. So I gave them some other leads to do, and they were planning on doing a full one-hour show on HOAs. Here's what's happened. CAI got wind of it, and the CAI attorneys went up and they said, "We'll help you. We'll gladly help you, and we'll help you put together the show." Well, the producer, whom I had been in contact with and talked to quite often, said, no way, thank you very much, but I think we can manage without your help. So then they threatened to sue them if they were not allowed to be on the show and were not allowed to dictate the outcome of the show. They were going to sue them. And the only way I knew this, although I had talked to Bonnie quite a bit, who was the executive producer of the show, she never said a word about that. The way I found out about it is that CAI decided to let their members know that they were on the job and they were doing this, and they published the letters they sent out there. I mean, they talked about this. It was like, hey, aren't we big, wonderful people? So the one-hour show got dwindled down to a 15-minute segment because they did not want to have to give the other side the time. Which is probably why, and I'm not saying it is, but it's probably why they're a little hesitant and reluctant right now to do a whole lot with HOAs.
Well, it is part of the scare tactic, isn't it, Chu? I mean, it is more and more of the scare tactics.
It's bullying. It's bullying. It's pure bullying.
Yes. And as I, you know, get tired of me hearing this, but this amount of narcissism on the part of these people, the antisocial behavior, and the amount of the collective antisocial behavior, bringing these people together, it's turned us into the nightmare that we have. I'm sure that you will agree. I know that I can say I never, as a young person, had any vision that this could take place in the United States of America. I could not have been more wrong.
Well, I did not grow up in the U.S. I was not born here. I'm a naturalized citizen. And when I lived overseas, everybody was, oh, everything was bigger and better and freer and free. Oh, free, free, free. We're so free. We're so free. We're freer in the U.S. And everything was better. And, oh, you people are just, you know, you're just not up to us. We the Americans. And so I came here, and for the first several years, it was fine. I did not know what an HOA was. And then I found myself in one. And I found out after we had a ratified contract, oh, by the way, there's an HOA here. What does that mean? It means that you will be paying an additional X number of dollars a month for what? To have your trash removed and the snow removed. Well, the city took care of the trash. Oh, well, we do things differently here, okay? So that was it. And then we get to the settlement table, and it was signed here. Well, now people know about it because, I mean, this is a number of years later. Everybody knows about HOAs. They've heard so much about them. But the fact is that you're not free. No. The fact is that you've been lied to. The fact is you're being too gullible by just accepting the fact that you're free. If you can't be free in your own home, you're not a free person.
Yes.
And you're the psychologist, so you should be saying this.
Yeah. This is, you are not a free person. You are in denial if you think you are a free person. It is not your door, not your grass, not your driveway, not your window, not nothing. Nothing is yours. And everything is vulnerable to attack. Everything. We gave up the right.
The person that we talked about, the young mother, at
yes.
the start of the show, her big problem is that her trash can's not far enough back. It's all about the placement of a trash can.
Mm-hmm.
How petty, how ignorant, how stupid, and how ridiculous can we get?
Well, I'll share with you how ridiculous it can get. Out here, those folks don't know where I am. I'm in Las Vegas. They have now designed and created new rules and laws in neighborhoods so that the trash can cannot fit in the garage, but the car can't stay on the driveway. Therefore, the trash can has to go on the side of the house. But because of the property line, the trash can can't stay on the side of the house because that is against city regulations. Therefore, for the trash can to be there, it has to be lowered below ground and raised to be put out on the street. Below ground. Now, this isn't by chance. This is designed. Let's create a series of rules that cause this to fail. And when it fails, we're going to make money. We've all, every one of the listeners, anybody in the United States has driven down the street and either experienced themselves or watched someone be pulled over for driving too fast. And we think, but wait a minute, wasn't the speed limit that I was in 35? Oh, 45? Oh, no, that's 35. When did it change? It changed way back there. Well, I turned before, after that. Well, I'm sorry, you should have known.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
And if you call the cops here, they're just too busy. They're under, you know, they don't have the manpower. They don't have the resources. They're too poor. Although they're building a whacking great big new building for the police department, but you know the police can't come if you tell them that, hey, the HOA is doing this, that, and the other. Oh, I'm sorry, that's private. We just don't have the manpower. We don't have the resources. But yet, we have the resources and the manpower to put all these police out hiding in the bushes with radar guns.
Yes.
And it's called revenue duty. That's what they're there for. So the trash can, that's insane, Gary. That's absolutely insane.
Of course it's insane. And try and do something about it. They knew when they put this rule into play that it couldn't be done. It could not be accomplished.
So tell me, what kind of person would do something so idiotic? Do they ever sit back and think, my God, what the hell was I thinking when I did that?
The person that did it or the person who signed into the HOA?
The whole thing. It takes more than one person to do something idiotic like that. And there's no checks and balances anywhere.
I go back and say that the person who institutes this kind of thing gets sadistic pleasure from affecting their fellow human beings this way. This is just sadism, pure and simple. The individual who lives in the homeowner association never imagined for 1 minute that such a thing could take place. It's a perfect recipe. You have this nice, big, wonderful sign, come on in to the Palm Hills subdivision. Welcome. And no place on that sign does it say, even in small letters, we're going to get your money, and we're going to get your house, and we're going to get you out.
Maybe we should put that on there. Maybe every sign should have something like that. You want sadistic pleasure? We'll give you sadistic pleasure.
I personally think that every HOA should be marked. Why aren't they? Why isn't there a sign that says, this is an HOA neighborhood? You got speeding signs. You have parking signs. You have yield signs. You have curb signs. Why not a sign that says you're now entering an HOA?
How about you're now leaving the American Zone? Put one of those little signs at the entrance of every HOA.
That's exactly right.
You are now leaving the American Zone. This is what life is all about. Mm-hmm. Once you cross this line, forget about it.
Yep.
Once you cross this line. No, but, you know, you have someone who comes up with a stupid idea and then proposes it, and then you have everybody sign on to it, and then you have people who adopt it, and then you have people who enforce it. I mean, it's not one person, Gary.
Nope.
Somewhere along the line, somebody has got to say, this is totally stupid and I will have nothing whatsoever to do with it. I've done that.
My experience is that those people are far and few between. I'm proud to say I'm one of them. I will not have any party to this. I will not make a dime on this. Nothing. Even if I'm called and asked to lecture, what's the fee? It's free. I don't want to make a dime on it. But there are other people who say, I now have a cash register available to me. And whoever they are, whatever their psychological makeup is, they have the foundation to be able to go in and steal from other people's property.
Yeah. So I think we're going to be, we talked a little bit about having a national organization. Do you think, I mean, obviously you do, but the whole country is turning HOA. There's very little that's not in an HOA.
Yeah, and those that aren't in HOAs are becoming HOAs. There's going to be a mandatory dividing and plotting out
of homes that are not an HOA that will become HOAs. Every home will be in an HOA.
What they're doing is they're claiming that it's bad use of land and that we need smart growth. And so at least in Fairfax County, where I live, they will rezone it. So if you have an older home with a little bit of land, they will rezone it. And then they will start taxing you based on what their rezoning is. So if you have half an acre and it's zoned R2, which would be two units or two homes on an acre, which would give you half an acre, they will rezone it to 10 or 12 or whatever. It's a high rise now per acre. And then they'll say, oh, but you see, if we had 12 units, we would be collecting so much in taxes because we have schools and we have police and we have this and that and the other. So therefore, now, based on our tax base, you're going to be paying as if you had 12 units or 6 units on your half acre. So your taxes times 6, which means people cannot afford it. So they're selling to get out. They sell it to a developer who takes it, and the developer then builds the 12 units because that's what it's zoned for now.
Yes.
And that's how they're turning non-HOAs here into HOAs.
Yes.
And that's Gary, that's another form of thievery.
It's disgusting to a level that it's becoming more and more difficult to talk about. And I guess as a psychologist and a therapist, I would ask people, get out of denial, see it for what it is, and then make a decision what you want to do about it.
If we were to pull everyone together, if we had a number of people who said, I've had enough, I'm absolutely incensed, and I won't take it anymore. What's the first step? How do we start untangling this mess? I know you go back to money, but we're not going to throw more money at the government. They've got enough of it. They need to start being a little more responsible with it.
Yes. For me, the first step after the organizing of the people is to get the people to basically protest. And how those people would protest is by literally not responding to these threats, to start building law firms that specialize in helping the homeowner. Currently, there are very few of them in the country who will help the homeowner. There's no money in it. There now has to be a money stream that goes to it. One of the things that I have suggested more than once, but of course turned down immediately, is the homeowners association people should be responsible for paying the legal bill of the homeowner, as the homeowner is responsible for paying the legal bill for the homeowners association. Well, of course, that's turned away immediately.
Well, in Virginia, the law is that the prevailing party is entitled to. So it's great because if you go in and you sue your HOA and you win, the HOA is going to pay your legal fees. The scary part is if you go sue your HOA and you lose, you've got to pay both the HOA in addition to your dues. You have to pay both the HOA's legal fees and your own.
Yes.
So, I think I love what Institute for Justice does, and I would love to see an organization very much like them, only focusing more on HOAs. Gary, last minute thoughts. We are out of time. I hate it when we get out of time because I love talking to you.
I would say to all the listeners, please pass the word. Tell your friends. Talk to your children. Let those children talk to their friends who in turn need to talk to their parents. They're being drugged into something they don't understand. You're getting up every day, going to work, trying to earn a living, trying to put a few dollars in the bank. There's no greater amount of money put away than there is in equity buildup. The equity theft that's taking place is enormous. Start looking out for yourself. Look at what's happening to your money.
Gary, thank you. As always, you are amazing.
Well, thank you.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.